Hi everyone, and thank you for being here tonight. As I sat down to write my reflection for this week, I often got distracted by the amazing weather and the joy that accompanies the sunshine. Between breaks to go for a walk and around the quad, I finally came up with a little something to share with you all tonight. If you didn't know already, I recently became a part of the immersion group traveling to Appalachia this coming May. With Earth Day coming up soon, I'm prompted to reflect on the healing power of nature and the cry of the poor that we often ignore, something that is living and breathing right in front of us. As we heard in the Psalms last week, the Lord hears the cry of the poor, but will we? How can we respond? A couple weekends back, I joined this group of students for the Appalachia's pre-immersion retreat. We went to North Chagrin Reservation to practice living simply and get our boots a little muddy, but most importantly, to build our community and to better understand why we are going by reading through the pastoral letter written from those actually living in Appalachia. Prior to this month, I couldn't tell you anything I knew about the region or the great distress that is occurring just a couple hours away from us. I'm shocked, although not so surprised, at the sheer indifference given to the well-being and livelihood to the people living and working there. In this pastoral letter, the Catholic community and bishops of Appalachia refer to their land, and more generally to our earthly home, as one of the most forgotten of the poor. We are unable to hear its cries for mercy over our rejoicing the extraction of its benefits, when too often we choose convenience over sustaining the incredible gift that God has given us. I'd like to share with you a quote from the pastoral letter that has stuck with me. To live in these mountains and forests, and with their trees and plants and animals, is truly to dwell in Earth's community of life, as one of God's awesome cathedrals. In this magnificent work of God's creation, misty mountain haze is holy incense, tall tree trunks are temple pillars, sun-splashed leaves are stained glass, and songbirds are angelic choirs. This ground beneath us and the skies above us represent a chapel of its own. This earth is a sacred space deserving of our utmost reverence. For the life among us, the beauty that it beholds, and the reminder that God created mountains and deserts, the oceans and the trees, and yet he thought of you too. May we begin to look at the person next to us like the cherry blossoms beginning to bloom, or the birds that wake us up each morning. A reminder that God is here and among us in the beauty of life that surrounds us. As the weather begins to get warmer and the flowers begin to bloom, I find it so easy to see that God is here. Yet, are we also able to find God's grace in the days that leave mud on your shoes and force us to walk through the storm? In my prayer, I often find that I connect with God most clearly while being one with nature. Whether that is going on a walk with Jesus around the quad or meditating along the Lake Erie shoreline, I stand in awe of the vastness that God reveals to us through the gifts of our earth. In today's gospel reading, Jesus proclaims that he is indeed the bread of life, the sustenance we are craving, and the one here to do the will of our Lord. If we are to have eternal life with the one that created us, we are to raise him on the last day. While reflecting on today's gospel, I can't help but read it from the perspective of Mother Earth. I invite you all to imagine the earth who said to all her inhabitants, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I come from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day." The earth's purpose is to sustain us, and for us to sustain it. We exist alongside creation because we are too a part of its divine glory. When we view our relationship with nature as we would our relationship with Christ, we may begin to ask for less, to give more gratitude, and to be more present to its call for holiness. The earth sacrifices for us as Jesus does his body and his blood. Our natural world continues to labor for us, moving us toward greater communion with the one who made us. May we hold reverence for our earth as if it were as sacred as this chapel we are in. Are you able to find the time to just exist in nature this week? I challenge you to take a walk with Jesus. You may be surprised at what he reveals around you. The moments we spend outside are opportunities to find more than just warm sunshine and friendly faces on the quad, but that God is present in each breath and instance of our natural world. May we begin to hear the cry of the poor, and maybe someday all of the earth will cry out to God with joy.